Now we'll turn again to the Word of God, please, and reading in Psalm 31. Psalm 31. I'm sure you with me would like to thank David for that uplifting ministry. And it's good to have a song to sing, isn't it? And it's good to be able to sing praises to the Lord. And just trust that these few thoughts, before I tell you a little bit about what the Lord is doing in the south of Ireland, that these few thoughts too will encourage us together. I'm not going to take time to read the whole psalm, suffice to say that this is the prayer, Psalm 31, of a believer who is in great distress. And as you read this psalm, you read great cries for help unto God, great cries of grief, but then shining through here and there, there is the trust of this believer, and there is the confidence that he has in his God. And I just want to lift one little phrase from this psalm, but let's read a few verses just to show you some of those things. Reading at verse 1, please. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities. But I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. And hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. And finally, verse 24. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. We trust that God will bless his word to us this evening. I wonder how you're getting on in your life with trusting the Lord. And you say, oh well, I did that. I did that 50 years ago, maybe for some of you. Maybe just a few years ago for some of you others. And you can look back and you can say, I remember it well. I trusted the Lord. Praise God if you can. And it'd be wrong to let that little phrase go past without asking that in a meeting such as this, could it be that there would be someone who cannot look back to that? Someone who doesn't have a song to sing, isn't able to say, I trust the Lord. But you see, it does occur to me that in our favoured United Kingdom, you are still in the United Kingdom, aren't you? In our favoured United Kingdom, as believers, we have it so well. And if all we're trusting in is the fact that we trusted once, and if it's not a daily experience for us, well, life's pretty miserable, isn't it? And here comes the psalmist. And he's in grief. And he's in distress. And he says, today, yesterday, tomorrow, if there is one, I'm going to trust in God. Notice it. Verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Verse 6. I trust in the Lord. Verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said. Thou art my God. You look at it when you get home. He trusts in the Lord as an ongoing thing because of past blessing. He looks at the blessing of the Lord upon him and he says, because of what the Lord has done for me, I trust him. You can do that, can't you? Look back to times in life when the Lord has helped you. When the Lord has blessed you. When you can say, like he says in verse 21, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." He trusts in the Lord because of past blessings. But he trusts in the Lord as an ongoing thing because he believes there'll be future blessings. Over and over again, he says, "Deliver me speedily. Pull me out of the net." And you read them when you get home. Over and over, he's asking God for these things. He's asking God for deliverance. But he's clearly asking because he believes God can do it, and he trusts the Lord for future blessings. And it seems to me, as I've meditated on this psalm the last couple of weeks, that he sums it all up in verse 15 when he says, "My times are in thy hand." Is that your confidence this evening? That your time, all of your life, your experiences, all that comes upon you, is in the hands of God. I want us to think about that just for a few moments. And I want us just to think about my times, first of all. And then I want us to think about God's hand. My times are in thy hand. You see, when we think about my times, we remember that our lives are very much defined, aren't they? Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that there is a time to be born and a time to die. And so our time, the time of our life, is defined. You know when you were born, but you don't know when you'll die. But you know that your life is a vapor, James tells us. And we live in the realm of time, seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and decades. And on, birthday after birthday, we live in the realm of time. But of course, we're heading to eternity. That's why. If there is someone in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, your life is a vapor. It's vanishing away and it will not be here forever. And you will not be here forever. But eternity is forever. And what you do with the Lord Jesus is the critical thing if you want to be in God's heaven. We're creatures of time heading to eternity. But you might agree with me, I hope you do, that in terms of the time which we have at our disposal and the events that take up that time and how we use that time, you would, I hope, agree with me that there are within that things that we can control to a large degree. But then there are many things that we can't control. The psalmist says in all those things, "My times are in thy hand." Think about it for a moment. Things that we can control. To a certain degree, I can control how I use my time, how I use my energy, how I use my intellect, how I use my finances, how I use the spiritual gift that God has given to me, how I use my home. To a certain extent, I can control that. And when you think about those things, let's remember what the Bible says about them. We haven't time to look at these verses in detail, but just a few words came to my mind. The Bible says that in terms of those things that we can control, well, there's a few words you could write over that. First of all, we're to be faithful with our time. Faithful with our money. You remember that parable? What's he able to say? "Well done, good and faithful servant." We read in 1 Corinthians 4 about faithful stewards. We read that Epaphras in Colossians 1 was a faithful minister of Christ. In the things that we can control, how we use those things that God has given to us. Good to be faithful. Then I thought we're to be habitual. Habitual. You remember the Bereans. It says in Acts 17 that they searched the scriptures, and we love to think of that. That's what we should do. But it actually says they searched the scriptures daily. They were habitual. What's your habit in terms of the things that you can control? You have the Bible, many believers in our world don't. You can pray. Habitual? Does that mark your life in terms of the things that you can control? We're to be reliable. James 2 says, "Let your yea be yea and your nay nay." When someone comes to us with a problem and wants to talk about it and ask for our confidence, are we reliable? When you agree to meet someone, to do something or to go and do some doors or whatever it might be, are you reliable? You'll be there. We're to be sensible. You read down that list in Titus chapter 2 about the instructions that Paul gives to Titus for the older men and the younger women and the young men. To all of them, he says, tell them to be sober, to be self-controlled. In the things that we can control, we're to be sensible. And then, of course, we're not only to be faithful and habitual and reliable and sensible, but we're to be scriptural. Scriptural. Examining what we do, the things in our lives that we have an element of control over, examining them against God's great life manual, the scriptures themselves, and saying, do they measure up? Or are there areas in which I need to make a change? And so, in those things that you can control, when we read this verse, my times are in thy hand, it doesn't of course mean that I sit comfortably at home and I wait for things to fall into my lap and saying, oh, well, you know, God is in control. God is in control. One of the believers that have been saved down in Gori where we are, she has a sister who also professes to be a believer and has an interesting background and has an interesting concept of trusting in the Lord. And one day she was at the beach with the rest of her family, and my friends Damien and Fiona were with her. And the tide was coming in. And they said to her, Siobhan, you'll need to move your stuff. The tide is coming in, you'll get wet. Oh, she said, God's in control. I don't know whether she thought she was King Canute or what she thought. But she didn't move. And over again, as they moved back and moved their stuff and moved their children, she stayed where she was. And of course, God is in control. But the tide still came in. She got wet. So you see, we don't just sit there, oh, my times are in your hand. We do what we can do, don't we? You think about Jochebed in that sense. You remember how she took Moses and she put him into that little ark of bulrushes. And I don't believe she laid him randomly in the river. I believe she knew that the place where she laid him was the place where Pharaoh's daughter went to bathe, maybe each day or every few days. So she did what she could do. She put him just there where Pharaoh's daughter would come to bathe. And then I see her going home and praying and leaving Miriam there. She's done what she can do. But then God does what only he can do. And he makes Moses cry just at the moment when Pharaoh's daughter comes along. And you know the rest of the story. Are you doing what you can do for God? Or are you sitting there and saying, well, God knows what's happening and God will give me something and God is in control and my times are in thy hand? And well, yes, that's true. But just as he then expected Moses to stretch out his hand upon the Red Sea, to lift up his rod and stretch out his hand, that was what Moses could do. But only God could divide the Red Sea. Only God could do that. Are you faithful? Habitual? Reliable, sensible, scriptural, in the things that you do have an element of control over? And then you said to me, you don't know my life. Neither. And I'm well aware that there are things. There are things that we just can't control. When the phone rings, when the doctor gives you his summary, having examined you, and tells you the bad news, when the storm comes and life changes in just a moment. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this evening, but these verses have been a tremendous help to me in the last couple of weeks, and maybe they'll be a help to you. Maybe you are there tonight. Maybe you feel as if it's all out of control and the storm is raging. You've been there many times likely, but maybe you're there again tonight. I know I've been there many times. When God acts upon your life in his sovereign will and at his sovereign timing, and what's my response going to be? Floundering, flapping, falling apart? Or is it going to be faith? The psalmist says here three times, I trust in the Lord. Whatever it is, whatever comes, however deep the valley, I trust in the Lord. I wonder, can you say that? My times are in thy hand. My times. Let's think for a moment about God's hand. And we say, well, it's all in the Lord's hands, and of course, yes, it is. But then somebody, maybe some of our younger believers here this evening might say, well, what does that mean? Surely the Bible says that God is a spirit. So how can we think about the hands of God and all those other expressions that we read? Well, of course, God is a spirit. John chapter 4 teaches us that. So we could say that he does not literally have hands. This is a figure of speech. David stumbled over a few long words earlier. I'm going to stumble over this one. An anthropomorphism. A figure of speech that attributes human form to God. And it helps us to understand God. His hand. You think of what you do with your hand. You lead people. You guide people. You hold people. You help people. Hands are mighty things. And that's really the thought, isn't it? The first mention of the hands of the Lord is in Genesis 49. And it says, the arms, speaking about Joseph, the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. When we think about the hands of the Lord, we're really thinking about that, aren't we? The might, the power, the strength that is in our God. And so if life is out of control this evening, if you've been faithful, and all those other words I mentioned, in the things that you can control, but now God in his sovereign will, or maybe at some time in the future, God in his sovereign will has decided that such and such should come upon you. If you're a believer this evening, how wonderful to know that you are in the mighty hand of our God. The idea is seen in our Bible in lots of ways. It's seen in terms of God as our creator. Psalm 119, verse 73, thy hands have made and fashioned me. God is a sustainer. Job says in chapter 12, the hand of the Lord hath wrought this, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. We think of God as the leader in this context, the leader of his people. That beautiful psalm, Psalm 139, wherever we go, we cannot escape from God's presence. Even there it says, shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. We think of the Lord's hands in terms of God as the judge. It's a fearful thing, Hebrews tells us, to fall into the hands of the living God. And we think of God as the Saviour. I'm not going to take time to turn to it now, but you know the verses in John chapter 10 where we read so beautifully about how eternally secure we are. We're in the Lord's hand. And we're in the Father's hand. And we cannot be plucked out, dear brother, dear sister, this evening. His hand. Does that give you comfort this evening? That when life is out of control, and when you don't know where to turn, and when you've done what you can do, just to know, as for God, his way is perfect. My times are in his hand. And you know, what should be of an even greater comfort is this. And we're not going to take time to look at this. You can think of this in your own meditation. But there is just a hint, isn't there? That our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew what it was to be in God's hand. Verse 5, we read it. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. And those words were echoed, of course, by the Lord Jesus in his final cry from the cross. Father, Luke 23, 46, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What a comfort that is. Whatever you're going through, he was upon the cross. Whatever you're enduring, he has endured on behalf of your sin. He knows. He understands. And could it be that my Saviour could have said to his Father in the words of this psalm, my times are in thy hand? I think he could. You think of him spending all night in prayer on occasion in the hands of his Father. You think of him making those journeys that no one else would make, but doing it because he was at the bidding of his Father in heaven. He must needs go through Samaria. He was in the hands of God. He must be about his Father's business, and all those other things you can think of. You see, God was working out his eternal and his divine program through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, as we think about time, remember that it was when the fullness of the time was come, Galatians 4. God sent forth his Son. Just at the right time. And if that wonderful, eternal plan of salvation could be ordained just at the right time, then why is it that sometimes we sit there and we say, oh, it's out of control. God doesn't really know what he's doing. God doesn't understand what it's like for me. Dear brother, dear sister, this evening, your times are in his hand. I wonder, can you believe it afresh now? I wonder, can you believe that whatever comes, that you've been faithful and reliable and all those other things in the things that you can control, that when the storm hit, that you know of a truth, my times are in your hands.